Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Sunday. Hope you had a good fellowship with your church. And maybe you're back at church. I hope you are. You know, having that fellowship and that Bible studying. It's just wonderful to be able to study the Bible with our brothers and sisters and to learn more about God. We are continuing this preaching series on spiritual warfare. And today we'll look at 2 Kings 6. Verse 8 through 23, this is part 3 of this spiritual warfare preaching series. And spiritual warfare is a topic that you don't really truly hear much in the pulpits. It really breaks my heart. But when it is preached in the pulpits, what you see is a under-emphasis. I mean, they'll say, really, you know, that applied then, but it doesn't apply now. That would be their thought behind it. Or you will see a over-emphasizing of it. Basically, making us look like we have the power, that we are something. We are nothing without God. It seems like when they're overemphasizing, it's like they are trying to be God by commanding God. And to me, that is beyond scripture. Without God's power in us, because of Him, we could even get out of bed in the morning. I know the older I get, bending down to tie my shoes, or just getting out of bed, it becomes a challenge every year. I like those slip-on shoes. You don't have to worry about tying them. But the real truth, right? Biblical spiritual warfare. You have that under-emphasis, that over-emphasis. And in the middle of those two is what I call being biblical. It's in the middle. You don't want to overemphasize and you don't want to underemphasize. You want to put it right in the middle. And when we do that, we look at scriptures. Scriptures in our Bible. It blows my mind how this concept is lost today. We just don't look at a single scripture and make it say something it does not say. And give our interpretation of it. Remember, guys, with commentaries, this is critical. The Bible is the final authority, right? All scripture inspired by God. Commentary, a man commenting on inspired scripture, is a commentary. They are not God. They don't have the final authority. They could be wrong. So we handle commentary very loosely. When we elevate, and I can see this when I was a kid in churches. And if you guys know, I grew up in strict Pentecostal churches. Today, they would make the Pentecostals of today like nothing, because they believe that women did not wear makeup. They believe the men wore long sleeves. The women didn't cut their hair. I mean, they were strict holiness. They used to call us holy rollers. I grew up in that atmosphere. There is a danger in all of that. And I've seen people elevate a man's word, a preacher, a pastor, a evangelist, a prophet above God's word. If they said it, that was scripture speaking out of their mouth. No, it's not. A man can be wrong. The scripture is right. Everything a person says, a man in the pulpit or whatever, a Christian, if it counters, if it goes against scripture, then they are misspeaking, period. If it goes against the word of God. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's no different. It's sad because it breaks my heart. And Satan and his demons are sitting there and watching and laughing when people are saying, hey, you know, it takes us 4 hours to cast out a demon. Show me in scripture where it took Jesus 4 hours or 5 hours or a whole day to cast out a demon. No. Because he has the power. We don't. If I try to cast that demonic spirit in my own power, it fails every time. And you can go to scripture. I encourage you guys, look at every occurrence that Jesus had with a demon, and like I have. And we're looking at scripture. We're not listening to a person that will write a book out there blabbing off stuff that's not biblical and making people all excited. We got the ultimate spiritual warfare manual, and it's called the Bible. Last week, we looked at light and darkness. That is the basis, right, of spiritual warfare. And we're kind of continuing that topic today, too. And kind of going to put this question in play. This overarching question, this overarching theme, I guess you could say today. Is the question is, what army are you part of? That is the heartbeat of this message. What army are you part of? Our text, 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23. I've preached on this several times. I just love it. I love God's word, period. Never want to get tired of studying the Word of God. But 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23, that's what we'll read. Okay. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that ye pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him, and saved himself there, no, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none of my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel words that you speak in your bedchambers. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and bring him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he there horses and chariots and a great host that came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, I ask my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and says, "Smite this people, I pray you, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. And Elijah said to him, "This is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me, I will bring you to that man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, Elijah said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elijah, "When he saw them, my father shall smite them. He wanted them dead. He answered, "He shall not smite them. Will you smite those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Get bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they have eaten and drunk, he sent them away. They went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to go into your word and to study more. God, I pray that our eyes are open to this war, this spiritual war, raging all around us, the battles that we will face as soldiers of yours in this world that is Satan's world, but your creation, a fallen humanity that don't want nothing to do with you. Are your true soldiers, the true Christians, the true disciples that will stand on the word of God regardless of the consequences it may cost them, from our families to our business to our schools to our government, we will stand on that solid rock. We stand. God, I pray that you just be with those that are going through the challenges of this life. God, we lift them up to you. You know what they're going through. You see all. You know all. We pray, Lord, in their time of need, maybe they may not be yours, and we pray within those points of despair, they're not yours, that they realize they're the emptiness of a life without Jesus. And those that are in despair and are going through these challenges and these trials of life that are yours, let us not let the enemy blind us from our hope that's in Christ. That solid rock, that anchor within the storms of life. Within that anchor, there's hope, there's peace beyond what we can imagine. When everything feels like it's falling apart, you tell us everything is falling into place. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we look at this, or these passages. You have Elijah here, a true man of God, a true prophet of God. Not like these guys today professing to be prophets and playing cons that will ultimately, if they don't repent, will end to a devastation outcome that will rattle and shake their souls, because God does not play. He has a lot of grace and mercy, and thank God for that. For all of us, right? But these professing false prophets today, they will have to answer for their deception. But here's Elijah. He is no false prophet. He is a true man of God. And you will see that phrase here several times. Man of God, right? And he was warning the king of Israel of these attacks from the enemy, the king of Syria, several times, but left the king flustered. He was not happy. He is wondering what in the world is going on. He finds out about this man of God, Elijah. Been warning the king of Israel of these possible attacks. How could he know? Well, he knew God. And God was directing him to warn the king of Israel of this king of Syria's attacks. So the king of Syria, he wants to find out where Elijah's at so he can go there and get rid of the problem. He sends an army to this, for this one guy. His physical army, right? And we can safely conclude that this king of Syria, he's being influenced by the darkness, right? We talked about darkness. Darkness is Satan and his demons. It's part of spiritual warfare. Understanding the two. The light and the dark. The dark. The physical people that we see causing problems. We have to understand Satan and the demons are pulling their strings. They are puppets. We can say some may be demonically possessed, and that could be true. Regardless, you could still view it as they're being influenced by demonic forces to do evil. And this king of Syria and the armies, they are going to do evil. They want to kill Elijah. That's darkness coming Elijah's way. And it's good to picture that. That theme, right? What army are you in? What army are you in? And remember, darkness, when it encounters light, flees. So you have the army of God, right? So when we look at our scripture here, you know, I just want to bring the tension to verse 16. Or actually 15. This is when the servant of the man of God, the servant of Elijah, he has gotten up early and he's coming forth, right? He goes out and he sees this host, this multiple army surrounding this city with horses and chariots. And we can immediately see that the servant is, he's "Alas, my master," and there's an exclamation mark there. He is saying, "Alas, my master." And this question here, how shall we do? We are doomed. Our fate is sealed. And he, that's Elijah, answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said to the Lord, I pray you open his eyes And he said, and may see, and the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw me, and in the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about us. Here Elijah said, hey, look, Lord, I pray that you open my servant's eyes so he can really see what's really going on. And Elijah said, there's more with us than all these other armies, this army out there. And when God opens the servant's eyes, he sees that army, that light, God, and all his angels protecting them. And we know they're protected as we continue that Elijah prays, he prays the Lord, and that they would basically come blind, to not kill him. There was a lesson to be learned here that the Lord wanted to show to that darkness. First, the army of God is more powerful than the army of Satan. We need to get that. Satan is not as powerful as our God, period. He is only as powerful as we allow him in our hearts and life. When we stand on the rock, when we stand in that light, when we are secured, where we stand firmly on that rock, that anchor of our hope, and not through our power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us, the devil cannot do nothing with that. The roof may be falling down, but we will say, Lord, thank you. I still have my life. Oh, the winds of the storm may rattle us. We say, oh, Lord, I still have my breath. Oh, the storms of life may drop us to our knees. And you say, thank God to be on my knees. I can pray to you, Lord. The devil can't do nothing with a true soldier of God that knows his or her position in the army of God. What army are you part of? You see, salvation, right? That is fundamental. It's the key and primary essence doctrine of the Bible. We should know we are children of God. That is one thing that should not rattle us. Satan wants to keep us guessing left and right. I want to go over a few things here, especially on salvation and about being part of that army of light. Now, when we think of John 3:16, one of the most popular scriptural references out there. For God so loved the world. God loves this world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, divine and human. And we believe, they that believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's that perishing part there, right? And there's that eternal life. So there's an eternal damnation, and there is an eternal life. And we hit on this last week too. I'm going to hit on it a little bit. I encourage you guys to go back and listen to last week's sermon. because I probably won't hit on every point to salvation. But we believe. That is a commitment. That is a trust. We believe in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word. The Bible has it. Profitable. Beneficial. For doctrine. For reproof. For correction. For instruction of righteousness. When you hear a preacher say, oh, I don't really want to talk about doctrine, they are denying part of the Scripture. And we already know that you can say, hey, Houston, we got a problem already. That's a key to pick up on false teachers or somebody that don't know what they're talking about, which is a ton of people in the pulpit today. But when they start talking about that, what I'm pointing to is all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And I talked a little bit at the very beginning about Scripture is the final authority. So we take that in. All Scripture is given. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is Scripture. We believe on that. We commit to that. And we commit that if we believe, we will have eternal life. Or if we do not, we will be condemned. It continues, for God not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Once again, it's pointing to Jesus Christ, that ultimate Lamb. As those who do not believe. Right? They are already condemned. They are presented the opportunity to choose. Right? We have options. God presents through whatever means is necessary, through a preacher or whatever. And you have a choice. You do have a choice to choose Him. We all have options. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God, meaning there is no errors in Scripture. It's profitable for doctrine and reproof for correction, instructions in righteousness. So we look at, okay, Jesus is the Son of God. He was divine. He was human. You know, and He was God. Or He is God. He is God. We could say something, the wording can get tricky sometimes there. But He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. It's all scattered to the Gospel of John. I encourage you to go through the Gospel of John. It's such a beautiful Gospel. It points to that triunion God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was that sacrificial lamb that had to die for our sins. The cross comes into place. That old rugged cross. And He was nailed on that cross. He died on that cross. His blood had to be spilled on that cross. The sins of the world had to fall on that lamb. He had to become the sacrificial lamb. The only true lamb. Because all the lambs in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were just mere band-aids pointing to that ultimate lamb to be slain. Of no wrong of His own. No sin of His own. Love in His eyes for each and every one of us, His whole world. The ones that beat Him and spat on Him, mocked Him. Take yourself from that cross. He looked down, nothing but in love and the blood that was pouring from Him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Oh, His grace and mercy, how it poured from that cross. And we know that He was taken down. And He was laid in the tomb for 3 days, and you can see that course in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The three synoptic gospels, read them together, gives you the full picture. And then, of course, Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, tells us, according to Scripture, he rose from the dead. He was resurrected, restored, other than the nail scar hands. And he was seen by the disciples and many others. And we know that he ascended to heaven. And he's coming back one day. We take all that in, guys. And what does it mean? Yes, we take that and we say, I believe. Yes, I trust the Scriptures. I have faith in the Scriptures. And that is supposed to cause a change in each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians, actually, let's see. I know I have that scripture written down here. Yeah, for 2 Corinthians, actually. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are supposed to be different. I'm not talking about a weird different, being odd. No. I'm saying you do not look like that world. Why don't we get this today? It's beyond my understanding, other than the deception that the devil has infiltrated the church, especially here in America, where it looks like you do not have to be different. You can be the same. When you come to Christ, you can hold on to your old nature. If you're in the army of God and the army of light, you will not be able to hold on to your old nature. Yes, we will still have that flesh, and we still will struggle. Right? But we will not be okay with that struggle. Meaning when we sin, that word S-I-N that is solely glossed over, not emphasized. It breaks my heart. If they don't mention sin, and if they do, it's just like I got to say the word sin and move on to just look like I'm biblical. But they need to stop and say, hey, let's look at sin. Let's spend a little time on this word sin, because it is the very important to understand. We are sinful. It's very important to look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And see what happened. God created a beautiful world, a beautiful creation, a garden, and everything was perfect. And Eve and Adam and Eve, Eve allowed Satan to deceive her. Deception. Adam just followed right along with everything. And sin came into this world, and it corrupt everything that we see today. That's why we have illness. That's why we have this evil, and that's why we have hunger, and that's why we have hate. Not because of God. It's because of us. Let's quit blaming God and point fingers at ourselves. We are sinful. We deserve a eternal damnation that would be just for us. Period. All of us. Me, you, this world. But even in the garden, you can see the grace and mercy of our God. Killing the first animal, clothing Adam and Eve, the first clothing, the first sacrifice, the blood, pointing to Jesus. the lamb. The blood had to be spilt. And then you just can read the Old Testament and just see how sin is so prevalent and how it destroys and destroys and destroys and destroys. But see, if you are truly saved, you have truly committed your life to Christ, you are enlisted into this army of light, right? You are no longer part of the army of darkness. You are part of the light. And when we are part of the light, there's things that we will know. We don't want to be our old self. Jonathan doesn't want to cling to his old nature. I promise you, my old nature was filthy. I was addicted to drugs. I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to witchcraft, satanic stuff. I was addicted to this world. I was addicted to sex. I don't want nothing. Oh, I was filthy. My language was filthy. Oh, how perverse I was. I don't want that anymore. I am no longer that old. I am new in Christ. Right? Galatians 5. Let's look at verse 16. Let's read down to 26. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Right? "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to other, so ye cannot do the things that you would." Why? Because you are a child of light now. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under law." And then it gives the works of the flesh. This is darkness. You don't desire these things anymore. It says in the King James, "are manifest." Basically, these are revealed. And these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, such like of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, for I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write this. Those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But you want to see that fruit of the Spirit, that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So those are of Christ. Those are their light. Those are in the army of God. We crucify the flesh with all of that afflictions and all that lust. We don't want it. Verse 25, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory and provoking one another, envying one another. This is what it means to be in the army of God, army of light. I'll tell you, and I've said these terms quite a few times. There is this term called, I have to say, and I keep saying because I want people to know, there is this thing called dirty grace. And license to sin. And then you'll hear people, "Oh, I don't practice that." But I want to give you an example real quick of the deception that the devil has on most today. They say, "Oh, I don't practice that." There's this little thing called Facebook. Maybe you've heard of it. And there's those that are professing to know Jesus. And then I can almost hear the echo of Matthew 7:1. "Oh, don't judge us. Oh, that's the only verse I know so I can keep practicing my sin." But if you read on, it tells us we are supposed to correct those. We're supposed to look at ourselves right. And course in love. But they use Matthew 7:1 as a verse to intimidate. And the only thing you're intimidating, only thing you're intimidating yourself, and heaven forbid you don't repent of that deception that you're under, and living in your sin and glorifying it, you will not, as it says in Galatians 5, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. That's how it is. But this little thing called Facebook, and here's the thing, you know, there can be a ton of filth on Facebook. I know, I see it. I don't endorse it. But you got those that profess no Christ, and what you see is filth they're posting. Cuss words they're exploiting. There is no filthy communication that should come out of us. And the bad thing about Facebook is this. It's like a compound sin. You're looking. You're liking. You're letting it marinate in your mind, the darkness. And then you're sharing it. And then you want others to like it and share it. And you comment and like what they're sharing. And there is no conviction or repentance in your heart. Because if there is, you will remove that filth from Facebook and apologize first to God and to those on Facebook and your friends. But what I see, when I encounter these individuals, these imposters, they get mad. You judging me? No. I'm not judging you in the way you're thinking, and I am judging you according to Scripture. Don't think God approves of your license to sin and your dirty grace. And that is just one example. You come, you try to correct them, you private message them. Next thing you know, they'll go and defriend you because you just pointed out their sin and they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they practice a license of sin and dirty grace. And that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And they will not make it to heaven unless they repent. They are not part of the army of light. They are part of the army of darkness. We are supposed to deny ourselves daily. And that is not denying nothing. That's indulging our fleshly lusts. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. This is a mark of a true child of God, a true soldier in the army of God. That is not being taught in majority of the churches here in America. They teach dirty grace and license of sin. You keep doing wherever you can, look every which way. I work in this world. I have a regular job along with the preaching ministry that God has given me. And I see this on a constant basis. People professing be Christian and talking any other way, and it just blows my mind. And if you try to correct them, they won't receive it. Period. Why? Because they're embracing the darkness. They're embracing this dirty grace and this license sin. It's really that simple. I can keep sinning and be okay with God. I don't have to ask forgiveness. I can keep living in my filth. I'm already forgiven. I don't have to ask. Some will even go to the extreme and say that they're doing God a favor by sinning. Yes, I know it's crazy, right? But it's prevalent. We are supposed to be new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is new creature, and all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ live in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is pointing to the cross. Right? is pointing to the cross and saying, hey, I recognize that. And now I have to live this life that is separate from this world. I have to die daily. I cannot endorse my sin or any other's sin. I have to call it out. Because I want to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh, my life only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit, guys. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That's where it's talking in Galatians, to walk more in the Spirit. And how we do that is to die daily. We have to die daily. What does that mean? First, it means I don't live for myself. Second, it means I have, if I'm a child of God and I've truly committed my life to Christ, I have the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. Right? The Comforter. John 16, just one scripture, 7 through 13 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is expect for you that I go away, for if I go away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. It's a he. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of the sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. And I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them all. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truths. Remember scripture. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he shall show you things to come. Let's see. Let's read a little bit more. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say, and he shall take of mine and he shall show it to you. A little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. It's just beautiful. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We cannot do this life without the Holy Spirit in us. We cannot live a successful Christian life. Now, I loosely say successful. When I say successful, I mean the Holy Spirit corrects us. Right? When we sin, Hebrews 12, 6 through 8 says, for whom the Lord loved, he chastens. He scourged every son that can be daughter to whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chastens not? Or, you know, daughter. But if ye without chastisement, where all are partakers, then you are bastards. You're not his. What is a bastard? It's really simple. Because all that strong language. We need strong language in the church today. Why? We've got this filth running around. This lukewarm gospel going around. We got people that are practicing this loose morality. We have homosexuality. The homosexual calling themselves Christians. And I know better. Because if they are, there would be a conviction in their heart. And they couldn't handle it. And that's just sad. That we're just, this is being going on. And we're not standing for the truth. It just tells you where we're at. It says that we are bastards, not sons. I'll tell you, if you're practicing sin and you don't have that forgiveness, that repentance in your heart, turning away from your sin, you are a bastard. You're not his. God does not endorse sin or sin. Sin is a cancer we have created, not God. God is a cure. Sin destroys everything. It brings death. But the Holy Spirit brings life. Thank God for that correction, that chastening, that scourging. Why? 2 Corinthians 7:9-10 says this: Now rejoice not, ye may sorry, but ye that ye sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. The English Standard Version has it this way. It says, as it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For ye felt a godly grief, so that ye suffer no loss through us. For godly grief produce repentance. Thank God for that grief of our sin. If you're not feeling grief for your sin, then and not leading to repentance, you're not His. Because why? It says that godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regrets. Whereas the world, Satan's world, grieves, produces death. It's different. Paul's saying that, thank God for the grief and the pain. I am not immune from the grief, but thank God for it, because when I am grieved over my sin, I know that I am a child of God and I want to get right. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me with hyptis. As David in 51 is, he realized his sin. He's caught in his sin and his heart is broken. Oh, our sins should break our hearts. Even more that we have, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And that's how you know you're part of the army of God and part of light. And you're not part of the army of darkness no more. You have come out of that darkness into the light. Remember that question that I presented at the very beginning of this sermon. If you take anything from this sermon, is this question. Is what army are you part of? Army of light? Army of darkness? There is a spiritual war. And we can see that in our reading day. And that's another point of this sermon. Is in course last week too. And next week we'll start going to some of the probably armor of God. But these, you know, three sermons are kind of geared toward a realization. And we'll probably hit on a few more on that. But a realization that there is darkness and there is light. Don't let nobody tell you there ain't no such thing as it. And that is past and there is no spiritual warfare that's needed. Once again, they go against the scripture when they say that. And don't let them overemphasize it. Meaning they say, oh, we command God. And this is what we do. Well, I wrote this book and it has this whole thing about how you exorcise a demon. No! We have a book here. It's called the Bible. It tells us in the name of Jesus. Like, right? It says every knee will bow, every tongue. That power in the name of Jesus, right? And I'm not a oneness. I believe in the Trinity. But there's power in the name of Jesus. If the Spirit is moving in you and you are truly a child of God and you're dying daily and the Spirit's just pouring through you, and that person that is being tormented by a spirit wants to be delivered, I encourage you guys, read those passages. Those people want to be delivered. If a person does not want to be delivered from a demonic spirit, it ain't happening. This is where a lot of them on the left out there on the left end extremists will go beyond scriptures and try to prove their point, and they're going against the Bible. No, that person wants to be delivered first. And then, are you right? Is your life in check? Because you come in the power of Jesus, not the power of Jonathan Ritter. I have no power, so the power that lives inside me that the Holy Spirit gives me, period. But there is a battle. There is this evil, there's this darkness, Satan and demons. There's this light, this God and the angels. And Elijah was able, God allowed Elijah to see the army of surrounding them, of the chariots and the horses, of that protection that were with him, because he was part of the army of God. He was a true man of God. He was a true prophet of God. Not like these yahoos we have today, that they prophesied and they're wrong, and they soft pedal it back. They need to be corrected, and their title need to be removed, because they do not deserve that title. Be very alarmed, I guess, with people that really center on titles. Like, oh, I'm a prophet. Oh, I'm apostle. Oh, I'm this. And they really emphasize their pride. There's problems in their life. And be weary of these guys. But there's an army. Elijah's seen it. Satan exists. Demons exist. God exists. Angels exist. And coming to Christ, moving away from that darkness, and of course, I've got quite a few sermons here on salvation. And of course, you can, those that who know me, you can call me and text me, or you can send a message through this website, and we can talk about things. Which I do have individuals that do that, and I love that. I love that, because it's about looking at Scripture and what Scripture says. The Word of God has the final authority, not a man. Let's get that. The Word of God, the Scriptures, they are absolute. They are truth. Are we clinging to the final authority? How does sin affect your life? Are you okay with your sin? Do you believe you can keep on sinning and still be saved? You may be part of those on Facebook that thinks it's okay to post cuss words and the Scripture follows it. That goes contrary to Scripture. Filthiness shouldn't be coming from you. It should lead to repentance. Do you cling to these popular messages out there on the television about you can keep on sinning, you don't need to correct, you don't need to ask forgiveness, you don't need that. You can have your grace. You can basically have everything and then some. You know, the Holy Spirit's just moving while I'm typing this message and delivering. I will tell you, this is a real problem. If it goes against the Word of God, and you're okay with that, you can call yourself a Christian all day long until you're blue in the face, and you can get mad at me as much as you want, because I do not sugarcoat the gospel. And there's men before me, I believe, a lot more eloquent and more talented before me. Paul, Peter, Timothy, Titus, Matthew, Luke, John the Baptist. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Of course, you go to the Old Testament. Elijah, Jeremiah. I don't know where we'll put myself in their camp. Great men of God. But they didn't sugarcoat it. And ultimately, Jesus did not sugarcoat it. Do you get that? Do you understand if Jesus, if Jesus physically came back down here in physical form and went into your average church today, they would kick him out. He don't have to. He anointed man of God. I'll think of that story of that historical account of Elijah and the rich man. History repeats itself over and over. Elijah went to Abraham's bosom. Rich man went to torment, prayed to Abraham that he would rise the prophets, right? Said, hey, they have men there preaching, basically, I'm paraphrasing. They're preaching the truth. If they don't believe them, they will not believe. If he rose the prophets from the grave. And that's the same here. We're living in those times. A man that is anointed by God, that's with the Holy Spirit, to preach these type of messages is not received at many churches. Because many churches today, they don't want to hear it. And that tells me if they don't want to hear scripture and they don't want to hear the truth of the gospel, then they are not part of the army of God, the army of light. They counter to that and they are part of the army of darkness and Satan. And it's the only thing I can explain in a sense that when you look at the inherent evil around us, like abortion, why has abortion become so prevalent in America? Just think about that. Why is it now okay for two men to get together and marry, two women to get together and marry, if it was truly a strong presence in our churches today, standing on the word of truth, and the people within those churches standing on the word of truth, telling me once they walk out them doors, their life is no different than that world. And they are inherently part of this army of darkness. I'm in my plea today here, guys, is through, if you're hearing this, look at the scriptures. If you say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to look at the scriptures, and there ain't no help for you. It's just that simple. Look at the word of God and what does it say about sin? What does it say about being different? What does it say about being a disciple? You can see the disciple. Look every word, like just do a word study on disciples. Disciple singular, disciples plural, through the New Testament, and look and write every out. And what did the disciples, that is the follower of Jesus, what were they like? And then you mimic your life like that. Oh, I don't want to do that. You got problems. I prefer to hear these sugar-coated sermons. You got problems. If you're not willing to look at the scriptures, all that man, he just made me upset. I don't want to hear him anymore. Yeah, I got churches that have not invited me back. Because I am about scriptures. I'm about here. What does it say? What does it say? What does it say? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what it's saying. That's a problem then. What does the word of God say? The word of God clearly points. There's an army of light. And there's an army of darkness. What part of the army are you in? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight thanking you for this opportunity just to go through your word, I pray, God, that through your these scriptures, and I'm probably not the most elegant in the world, but I love the word of God, and I pray just through the scriptures that they speak to the hearts. The word of God speaks to who may be listening to this tonight, tomorrow, this week, in the future. Somebody will. I believe that. If one person's impact, that's all that matters. One person's heart has changed from the way they've been improperly indoctrinated with demonic demonic doctrine of this license to sin and this dirty grace. They've been told that their life doesn't have to be different. They can do wherever they want, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they open their eyes and they see through the scripture and the ones I provided in tonight that this is not correct. Our life has to be different. Our life, we have to deny ourselves daily. Sin should break our hearts because it breaks yours. God, I pray that you just be with us as we go to sleep tonight and we start the work week, or maybe somebody might be off Monday, but if we just go to this next week, God, you just guide us and you direct us. Let our light shine among the darkness, Lord, among those that need to hear the gospel, from our family to our jobs to our schools to our colleges to our government. Let our light shine among those that they clearly see that there is something different in our lives, and that difference is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that had to die for our sins. On that cross, the blood had to be spilled. That grace and mercy that poured on that cross, being pulled from that cross and placed in that tomb and rose from the dead, he is risen, thank God. That tells us death, this physical death, this flesh death, is not the end. It's not the end for any of us, but those that know God, that commit their lives and realize we are supposed to be different. We commit our lives to the scriptures and we believe every word, the word of God is inspired, and we are willing to keep on pressing on to the very end. Eternal life waits for us, and those that choose not to only profess with their mouth and their heart so far from them they want to live in their lives sin, they're governed by their emotions more than scripture, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will have eternal damnation, and we pray for them, God, before it's too late, that their eyes are open from their falsehood and they realize the error and the deception they have allowed Satan to cover and blindfold their eyes and stuff their ears. We lift them up to you tonight and we pray that you just guide us and direct us the rest of this week. And pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can email me through this website. You can message me on Facebook if you're part of my Facebook fans. Our fans, I say fans, friends. There's only one fan. We should be a fan of... Well, no. We should be followers of Jesus, not fans. I preached a sermon on that a while back ago. It's somewhere. I think it was 2 years ago. Lord knows where that one's at. But fans and followers. But Facebook friends. There it is. Message me if you want to join into... my Facebook. Just send me a link, and of course put Wake Up America Church Ministries on there. That I know that you best just send me through email, and then a friend, I can correlate the two together, match them up, because I'm very cautious on who I let on my Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. All right, You guys have a good night.